We had mentioned that there was a chief rabbi in Padua by the name of Mordechai Gerundi. Mordechai Gerundi was born in 1799 and he was nifter in 1852. He was quite a famous rav, a recognized authority in Rabbonis, and was also consulted by Rabbonim of different communities as well. He wrote a number of Sfarim. One is called Teichei Rotzuf Ahava. It's a sefer basically on Musar. And that sefer he wrote when he was only 16 years old. And there's another sefer called Maimer Kriyas Haboiris, a Maimer but digging wells. There's a whole discussion regarding artesian wells, and he shows references all over Shas where we find these types of boiris. And they say one of the most popular works of his is what's called the Toldos Gedolei Yisrael, which is basically, it's a biographical dictionary regarding the Rabbonim of Italy, both Rabbonim and also secular scholars. Interesting, he had a lot of knowledge in that. So this Mordechai Gerundi, as a matter of fact, was not a Poshta Yid at all. As a matter of fact, his son, the son of Mordechai Gerundi, writes about him. The name Gerundi, by the way, was a descendant of Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina is known as Rabbeinu Yoina of Gerundi. Rabbeinu Yoina of Gerundi, because in Spain, in Gerona, that's where Rabbeinu Yoina lived originally. And therefore, he was a descendant of Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina, again, was first cousin of the Ramban. So Rabbeinu Yoina of Gerundi, and this Mordechai was a descendant, of Rabbeinu Yoina. And he said, took on the family name. The family name was Gerundi. So the son of this Mordechai writes, but his father, the interesting thing is that in those days, many of the Kehillas Rabbanim actually had a different panosa. In other words, they were Rabbanim. But in terms of livelihood, they had whatever. Many of them were physicians and so on and so forth. So he writes about his father. He says, and the other day he would be Isaac in business, in order to possibly to be in the hand from his own handiwork. The other half, Misnai b'chassidus, pizar nosim levyoinim. He writes, v'aboim shono yoshev b'tanis. Holy good people. 40 years he fasted. He writes about this, but his father Mordechai Gerundi, and v'loilon b'mita, he says, did not sleep in a bed, he said, except b'shaboshes umayadim. And it was only b'chaya ishtoi, otherwise he did not sleep in a bed. V'chol alayla yoshev b'beis medroshoi, he says, and he would give a lot of droshes and musa and various, various shurim. Get an idea a little bit of this Mordechai Gerundi. Interesting thing is, as we mentioned, is that at the age of 16 he wrote that sefer called Teichei Rotzuf Ahava. And one of his rabbeim that he had was Yitzchak Raphael Pinchi, an Italian name. Rabbi Yitzchak Raphael Pinchi was the Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Lampunti, we mentioned many times, the Pachad Yitzchak. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yitzchak Pinchi writes about Rabbi Yitzchak Lampunti, who was the Rav of Ferrara, was a Gadol HaDor. He writes, he says, I spent many times in his house. And he says, Ra'isi Yoshe Medoisof Umaloisof, Osik Ba'raisi Tadira, it was always Osik in Torah, but he was Naik Ba'chasidis B'seiser, but Osik B'Torah L'shmo, V'kom Koida Mashmoyos, get up, daybreak, way before the day starts, and so on and so forth. And later on, he was a Talmud of the great Makuba of Avram Riggio, which is something we should talk about another time. Why am I mentioning this? Because regarding the Ramchal, as we said, that finally, we saw that later on, in later areas of his life, and more so even after he left this world, he began to become recognized, and we said many of those who opposed him, they turned around. So, Mordechai Shmuel Gerundi, that we mentioned, of Padua, writes the following lashon. Because we said that he wrote a whole sefer called Toldos Gedolei Chachmei Italia, he wrote. And he writes particularly about Ramchal, he had a special Megiyas, but first of all, he was in Padua, the same place that was where Ramchal grew up in. So he writes, V'ani shemati mezikna v'yir azois. He said, because he was already, when he was born, Ramchal was long nifter. Ramchal was already nifter in 1740. He was nifter he was born in 1799, Ramor Chai Gerundi. So he heard from the Ziknair, but he heard people. From the Ziknair, Ashishonu Mavoisam, who knew the Ramchal, who still knew the Ramchal, Shekir was Rabbeinu Moshe Chaim Lutzatel, Ve'eidu kiroi misnaig b'chassidus in Kedusha Gedoylo, Omareu kemare malach elekim noir moid. She looked at Ramchal, this he heard, he writes, a Mordechai Gerundi from the Ziknei Oir, whose parents still recognized, whose parents still knew the Ramchal, and he said, Peshit, just the appearance looking at Ramchal was Mareu kemare elekim noir moid. And goes on further and talks about the Ramchal. There is a this sefer. Malchus Shmuel also was not actually printed. He printed in the year 1808. He reprints a sefer of Ramchal, a very well known sefer, quite a popular sefer, which is called Das Tevunos. And he writes there in the Akdama. He writes tremendous about the certainly the great chokhmah, the genius of the Ramchal, and also his nahag is b'kedusha tahara. And he writes the madreges of Ramchal, madreges noirois moid mamish kemoish kozel al horizal. The madreges is that one could see on Ramchal would be similar to the madreges that would be ascribed to the Arizal. Again, Ramchal had many svarim, and a lot of them are not that popular. First of all, very, very deep, many svarim, and all of them are really deep, but some are more than others. The sefer is called Kelach Pischei Chochma, which means Kelach is Kuf Lamed Ches, 138 gates of Chochma, 138 openings of Chochma, opening the doors, opening the gates of Chochma. So that sefer, Kelach Pischei Chochma, was printed for the first time in 1785 in the city of Koris. And you find the Eskomis from Talmid Baal Shem Tov, for example, Benu Yankiv Yosef, who wrote this paper called Rav Yevoi. And he writes there, he says, Mamish Divrei Hashem, he says, learning the Sefer, he says, this particular Sefer, Kalach Pischei Chochma, Mamish, he says, you see the Divrei Hashem. And then it brings down that it was said, B'Shem the Magid of Mezrich, who was the successor of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Magid said, regarding Ramchal, that Ein Doiroi Ho Yukedai Lehovin Sitkosit Pishosit, the generation was not ready to receive such an Odom God as Ramchal. And Mela, so this is what the reason is that all these issues against them arose, simply because the door was not Roy Lekach. It's an illusion, actually, the Gemara says, Roy Olecha Shetish Reshchin Olecha El Shein Hador Roy Lekach. The generation is not Roy Lekach. So, the truth is, you look at the Yismach Moshe, right? Yismach Moshe, one of the great, of course, leaders of Hasidus. Yismach Moshe, at the end of the Sefer Yismach Moshe on the Yom Tovim, on the Moedim, says, Ki Mekubal Etzloi. He says, it's Mekubal from him, Mo'abeinu HaKodesh HaMagir HaGol MeMezrich. Yismach Moshe writes, I have a personal Kabbalah from the Magir of Mezrich, that the Sefer, Kalach Pischei Chochma, that we spoke about, who bo here v'toyer. It's clear and it's pure. Also the Yad V'Nachal, which is very, very choshev in the world of Hasidus, a very stark sefer, builds a lot of Torah, which it brings down based upon Ramchal. And the interesting thing is that the Divrei Chaim of Sanz, in the sefer, Divrei Chaim of Torah in many places, actually in Parshas Vayeshev, in Parshas Vayakel, and also in a Drush on Purim, brings down from the Sefer Kalach Pischei Chochma, from these 138 gates of Chochma. But what's most noteworthy, if we're talking about, if we're mentioning the Divrei Chaim, is because Divrei Chaim in his Tshuvas, in Chelek Sheni, he writes, Yodesim Kuf Lamed, he writes regarding various different Balam Mekubalim. He writes about various different Balam Mekubalim. And the Divrei Chaim of Sanz writes as follows. The Dati Einoiche Lishmoya, he says, I am Pochet, he says, I'm not really interested, he says, I'm not comfortable to hear about Stam Balim Mukabolim. Like Hasforim Ashoherunu Raboisai Talmide Bashem Tov, Loizulas. I only am interested in Sifrei Kabbalah that I have a Kabbalah from my Rabbeim. My Rabbeim Talmide Bashem Tov, that they have sanctioned various Sforim, but Stam Sifrei Kabbalah just here and there, even those that might be Mefursim, only those that I have a Kabbalah, says, from my Rabbeim Talmide Bashem Tov, those are the Sifrei Kabbalah, he says, that I am interested in. Well, if that's the case, that the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Divrei Chaim himself, he says, only would study are those that he has a Kabbalah. Well, he does bring all over the place, as we mentioned, the Ramchal. So again, so it must be that there must have been a Kabbalah also, as we say, going back to all the way to Talmide Baal Shem Tov regarding the Ramchal. Interesting thing is also that There's another sefer. His sefer is called Choyker Umekubel. Another sefer Amchal. These are some that Kemat people are not aware of. That sefer was printed in 1800. It was printed in Lemberg. Again, who gives us comment? Well, the father of the Rav Shesur, of the Mefutoli Rav Shesur. And Mefutoli Rav Shesur was the Rebbe of the Divrei Chaim. And the father of the Mefutoli Rav Shesur, Rav Shesur, was the Mendel Olinsker. The Mendel Olinsker was the item of an Itzikal Hamburger, a Golador. So Mendel Olinsker gives us comment. Again, Yitzchak Moshe gives us comment. And they write the Dvorot Nechmodim Mesukim Midvash Venefe Sufim, sweeter than honey, and how desirable are his words. And it's brought down a particular sefer that says that the Kojin Samagid, the great Kojin Samagid, said that in his youth, what gave him the courage to be able to reach his high madrigas, whether he studied in his youth, he said that b'miyamei ne'urov kibel ma'asefer mesilas yisharim, that he was mekabel taken from there. And the fact is that all the gedolei talmid of Hashem Tov all studied the various forms, for example, the Abturu, the Yoyev Yisrael, and the great, of course, leaders of Hasidus, the Yoyev Yisrael, the Mendel of Rimenever, again, these are all the greatest. And last but not least, we should mention the Bnei Yisoscher. The Bnei Yisoscher writes, one of the Sfarim that Bnei Yisoscher writes, again, the Sefer that's not so bekannt, except around here, in Olam HaChassidus is bekannt, it's called Surmei Rav HaSeitoi, it's a Sefer, from Bnei Yisoscher. So then the Yisoscher, he writes, that regarding the Mesilas Yisharim, who basically, the Madregas of Mesilas Yisharim, that talks about reaching one level of Kedushin to the other, Zahiris, Nikias, cleanliness, Zerizis, right, Alacrity, Chassidus, piety, it's all based upon the price of Pinchas Ben Yair. One Madrega leads to the other. But if you open up a Gemara, you'll find the different Gersos, which is first and which is second. So Ben Yisrael said, if you want to know the right Gersos in the right way, which step to follow step after step, he writes, look in the Sefer Mesilas Yisharim, he says, V'tir v'tzemaynach, and you'll quench your thirst, V'tite madanim u'mafshecho, and you'll give delicacies to your neshama. So that's the Bnei Yisoscher regarding from Chal. Okay, so for now we're going to start with this, and we'll take a look here at Ramchal Mefaid in the Derech Hashem. We're up to here in Perik Sheni, which is Daf Nun Hei in your edition that you have. It's Daf Nun Hei, beginning of Perik Sheni. Perik Sheni, the title, as you see, is the Mikre Hamin Hu Anoishi Boilam Azeh, which basically means to say is the title is basically it concerns what transpires over man in this world. The Machal says here that basically I'm going to be discussing what transpires over man in this world. Now, the emphasis, as we're going to see, he discusses more things, and basically on this he elaborates, this title elaborates later on. The basic idea here is in this chapter, which is basically the first paragraph, actually, paragraph for the first one, the world, Ramchal points out the following, that the world and everything that's in it, right, means to help man reach the highest station possible in Olam Haba. Something we heard about a lot, Ramchal talks about a lot, and here he goes down to give us a number of points. Again, the idea is that the world and everything is in it, a means for a person to help him reach a high station in Olam Haba. So Ramchal therefore begins and he reviews the goal. Here in this paragraph, Aleph, Ramchal begins to review the goal behind man's creation, and this will be basically an introduction to the whole idea of Hashgacha Pratis, that Kosh Baruch Hu has divine providence over a person in this world. Because it all has to do with man's purpose in his world being created. So it begins as follows. Hinei Klal Hekdamnu. Ramchal said is something we already have prefaced, something we've already mentioned. That since Tachlis Brias Hamin Huanoishi, the purpose of the human race was the purpose of creating the Min Huanoishi, which means that the species of man, well, we mentioned this as a Ramchal, we mentioned this already in the past. The idea is simply, Shiske should be worthy the Agila Toiv Hamiti, that it should be worthy of arriving at the true good. Hashem created man on this world, that it should be worthy of arriving at the true good. What is the true good? Shehu. The true good, the ultimate good is his dapkus boy is barach loyam haba. To be able to attain a state of attachment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way of becoming. Ramchal points out, as a matter of fact, in Mesivas Yishoyim, something that we had studied a number of years ago, Ramchal mentions that one cannot imagine any pleasure in this world. Or if you would accumulate, he says, all the pleasures from the beginning of creation, he says, till the end of time, and basically put all of those pleasures, put it into one chip, he says, would not amount into any way, he says, to the tanuk, to the tremendous, tremendous pleasure that a person would be able to have in Olam Haba, basking in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ramchal therefore says with his few words right here now that the tachlis b'riyas aminu anoishi, the tachlis b'riyas odom, you should be zoiche v'yagi alatoiv emiti, to be able to reach the emes digitoiv, the true good, and that is ahedabkus b'yizborach loyom habo, to be able to attain dreikus, to be able to attain connection, attachment to kishbarachu in olam habo. The nimsa, which therefore consequently what comes out of this is shesoyv kol gilgulov, that the end of the day, what's the result of a lifetime of a person, what's the result of all of that, the end result is hinehu hamanucha l'olam haba, to be able, right, to have the ultimate comfort as there is in olam haba. And to be able, now of course in olam haba there is not, quote, just comfort, because you don't sit back, because you know the Gemara says that Talmid Chacham ein lo menucha, right, lo yibol mazer lo yibol haba, because yelchu mechai lachai, they continue to grow. Ramchal here, the pashtus, what he means is when he says menucha in olam haba, means that in olam haba you don't have the struggles with the yetzer hara that you have here. Those struggles, in that sense, you have menucha, but of course you continue to grow even in olam haba, also to go mechai lachai, to continue to be able to grow from one level to another. That's why, by the way, when it comes to your sight, what do? You drink a l'chaim, what do you say? You give a bracha that the neshama should have an aliyah, right? The neshama should be able to continue to go higher and higher. So it means that the neshama, even in the next world, right, there's level and level and level and level. And that's true, therefore. So there's not really, so to speak, menucha, you're not just resting. But the truth is, you continue to grow even in olam haba as well. And one can imagine that the more you grow, of course, it means is, so your connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is all that more. Your Devekas Bashem is all that more, which means that therefore the Tanug in Olam Haba is all that much more compounded. It's all that much more, it becomes magnified to greater amounts. Now, so Ramchal says, having said that, of course, that the end result and the tachlis of a person is to be able to achieve in this world, and that is to be able to reach the Dveikus Bashem, the ultimate good in Olam Haba. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu made a plan. Kodesh Baruch Hu designed the plan how to be able to reach it, and that is, he put you here in this world. Omnom, however, says Ramchal, Gozra HaChochma O'Yoyna, Kodesh Baruch Hu in his divine wisdom, right? Chochma O'Yoyna, Kodesh Baruch Hu in his divine wisdom, in his great wisdom, Kodesh Baruch Hu decreed that what? Hayoyisroel benous, that is fitting and is proper, that before a person should be able to actually, really be able to attain true dveikus b'Hashem, to earn it with a life on this world. Kodesh Baruch Hu understood that with his Chochma Yoyna. Some of the persons say, why do I necessary? Kodesh Baruch Hu understood that with his Chochma Yoyna. To be able to achieve the most, and to be able to gain the most of Olam Haba, is by running through Olam Hazeh and doing the right thing. She yagd the mozeh, therefore there has to be a hakdoma, means it has to be a hakdoma, ba'oil mazeh. She has to come through this world. This has to precede before it reaches Olam Haba. In other words, very simply, what Ramchal is saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu understood in his great Chochmah, that reaching Olam Haba, right, would best be attained, right, by first existing in the present world. So the best way to be able to attain that which we hope to attain in Olam Haba, Kodesh Baruch Hu understood that the best way to attain it is by existing first here in this world. That's what Ramchal says, Matzovoi Boilam Hazeh. And of course this world has its rules, has its disciplines. Niksha v'nigbal, a man is connected to this world. V'nigbal, he's restricted. B'chukai sa'tev is oilam. Man, of course, is connected to natural laws of this world. You can't live unless you don't defy the natural order. Olam Hazeh demands you have to eat. You have to eat. Olam Hazeh demands you have to sleep. You have to sleep. Kodesh Baruch Hu put you in this world, and you are constrained and restricted to the natural laws of this world. This is how Kodesh Baruch Hu planned it. This is how Kodesh Baruch Hu designed it. which means that the world as we know it has certain characteristics, right, in the material dimension, of course. So the material dimension that the world has, because Baruch Hu wants man that he should live in this world and use those characteristics of this world, use them as tools, use the characteristics of this world in order to attain, as we said, this state of dveikus, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba. As he said, Shezeh Tiyah HaChoneh, running through this world, this should be, the HaChoneh should be a proper preparation. HaChoneh Hu Amitis VaHaLeruyah, should be the proper preparation, VaHagiyah LaTachlas HaNitzah, to be able to achieve the desired goal, and that is again, of the dveikus Bashem. And the idea is simply quite, because being that this world, Rabbi Yisai, contains element of good and evil, as Ramchal will say soon, which is obvious, so being that this world contains both elements of good and evil, so that, therefore, precisely because of that, this world becomes the appropriate place for a person to earn his reward by making the correct choices. Because Ramchal says, and said again, he said it before in previous, that what? That man has bechira. So putting him down in this world, which has choices of good and evil, and man now, utilizing his free will and making the correct choices, that will give him the ultimate Dveikus Bashem in the next world. With the Asherish Hazeh, based upon these principles, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, Sidder Kol Inyon Hazeh Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged all the matters of the world, right, Lius HaChomer Lazmona, all of that is as a preparation, all of that is to be a preparation and to make ready. HaKadosh Baruch Hu laid the groundwork, gave all the elements, put all the elements here in this world, laying the groundwork that work that's needed to achieve, as he said, that goal. For afterwards, you run through this world, utilizing all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in it, to be able to reach the Olam HaTachlisi, the world of purpose, that's the Olam HaTachlisi. And that is, Shor Olam Haba, that will be the world to come. So again, so the idea is simply choosing between good and evil, right, that must exist in this world, in order to be able to earn his schar in Olam Haba. So this now becomes the sources of all the things that befall man in this world. So these are various tests. All the things that befall man in this world become various tests. So man should be able now to plow through, right, to find this maze, you know, of confusion, and be able to find the right path and to do the right thing as a hachona to prepare him for his eternal reward, which is going to be Olam Haba. So now, in base, coming paragraph, the second paragraph, so here again, the Ramchal is going to basically, with the essence of this next paragraph, is to teach us the preparations for the world to come, both for the individual, and also, he says, for all of humanity. In other words, there's two situations. Hachona for Olam Haba, we're talking about the individual, and also Hachona lo Olam Haba, he says, for all of humanity. And he goes on and says the following. He begins now basically a discussion of the preparation that takes place in this world. Ramchal now begins basically to discuss the preparation that is needed in this world to ready man for the goal, which is the world to come. And he says as follows. Ah, he says, I want you to know, this preparation that's needed here in this world, this preparation that's needed in this world, the hachona, this preparation, it revolves around two aspects or two axes. The hachona, the preparation that's needed to be able to be zeichet, to reach Olam Haba, Dveikus Bashem. So it revolves around two aspects. What are the two aspects? Ho'echet ishi. The first one is regarding the individual, regarding the individual person, he says. And asheni kloli. And the second one is of humanity in general. In other words, the Ramchal basically is going to explain in brief what each of these aspects are going to include. The rest of the Maisa, this parik here that we have here, which is parik base. So this parik, the Machal, the Maisa, he focuses on the access that relates to mankind in general. In the next parik, he explores the ones relating to the individual. Here more, he talks about the klal, mankind in general. But he starts as follows. Or ishi, he says, the akhona, the preparation, he says, which is regarding the individual, right? He says, who inyan kinias adam eshlemusa b'maisa. In other words, this world relating to the individual, This will relent an angel is in what way? That's the matter of individual acquiring perfection through his meisim. Quite simply, the achrona of a person, talking about the individual, the achrona of a person, the preparation the person is in this world, to be able again to reach the tachlis, to reach, which is the main purpose, which is olam haba, is of course, is to acquire perfection in this world. To acquire perfection through his deeds, of course it means through the proper kiyum mitzvahs, to the proper way that a person performs mitzvahs. Okay, that's the achrona for the individual. Now, Vaklori, and regarding the preparation in the world that relates to mankind in general, Vaklori, for his chaynin haminu anushi, that involves that mankind in general as a whole, Biklolo liyolom, should ready themselves to perfect themselves as a whole for the world to come. Which means to say as follows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just interested that individuals should perfect themselves. That's not his main point. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just interested looking at the individual. Kodesh Baruch Hu is interested that mankind in general, as a whole, which means that mankind as a whole has to acquire perfection in Olam Haba, just like the individual, and mankind as a whole also has to be prepared for that condition. So in any case, so now, he goes on to say as follows. He first basically discusses now when he says Upirish Zeru Inyan, to explain, he said what we're talking about, Ramchal here, Upirish Zeru Inyan. So Ramchal first he discusses what pertains, he said, to the aspect of mankind in general, regarding the hachon of mankind in general. So he said Upirish Zeru Inyan who? The explanation of this matter, says Ramchal, is as follows. When you look at mankind in general, when you look at the species of man, mankind was created both with a Yetzer Tov, which means good urges. Then you have Yetzer Hara, which are bad urges or evil urges. Or as you say, Yetzer Tov, it's a good inclination, and the Yetzer Hara is the evil inclination. And given these two urges, the man was also given Bechira. Man was also given free choice to be able to choose. So therefore, so as a fact, says Ramchal, being the man has Bechira, and now he has two urges, the fact is that many people are going to fail. It doesn't have to be that so, but the fact is, or put it this way, the fact is that there's a possibility, let's reword that, and the fact that man has two urges, and the fact that man has a Bechira, strong possibility exists that man is going to fail. So therefore, says Ramchal, it cannot be prevented. Ramchal says, being that man has two urges, good and bad, so a man is being challenged, and he has free will, so it cannot be prevented. The possibility cannot be prevented by chalokov, right? Some people, chalokov means chalik of mankind. It cannot be prevented in the chalik of mankind, that there can be some people are going to be good, and some people, right, are going to be bad. The Soif HaGilgul Tzorich, right? The Soif HaGilgul Tzorich, and what's going to be, he says, the end, what transpires, if necessary, it means is, Soif HaGilgul Tzorich, Sheyutchu HaRoyim. Unfortunately, it means that those who are evil are going to be cast aside. This is going to explain a little bit longer what that means. Unfortunately, when it comes to the world to come, that those who are evil are going to be cast aside, which basically means, and the reason to understand that is quite simple, because what's Olam Haba? Olam Haba basically consists of those elements of mankind who are prepared for Dveikus Bashem. That's what Olam Haba is. So if Olam Haba is Dveikus Bashem, so therefore Olam Haba will consist of those elements that are prepared for Dveikus Bashem to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those individuals who made the choice to act in evil ways, therefore have no part in that chelik of Dveikus Bashem. And being that the whole definition of Olam Haba is Dveikus Bashem, so Ramchal says, so Soif HaGilgul, what will be the end result of those who have made the wrong choices? Sheyutchu HaRoi, that unfortunately, those who live the life of evil will be cast aside. Yes, while they're alive, they can do tshuva, everybody can repent. Everybody can repent, no matter what a person, he can repent, because he wants to be kabel tshuva. But that's because man is alive, once he's gone. The Yekupzu HaTovim, so now what happens? If those that were evil are pushed aside. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu collects the Yikub Tzu HaTovim. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu collects those that are good, brings them together, V'yasem en Klal Echad. And now you have one Klal. You have one entity, the entity of those that are good. From one corporation, because one company. One company of those that are good, Kodesh Baruch Hu forms, he forms one entity, a Klal Echad. Shalakal Ahu, it'll be that entity, it'll be that general entity. That general entity of mankind, Ye'utad Bo'olam Habo. They will be destined, this group, in other words, they'll be the group of the perfected ones. They'll be the group of the perfected ones. As he said, and therefore, they will have the Olam Habo Batoiv Ho Emiti Hamusik Boy, to be able to attain the true good that is already there in Olam Habo. So this is what Ramchal really is inviting us, and really urging us on to make sure while we are here to be able to utilize and to recognize what we're able to gain, to recognize also the other side, what is shaykh to lose. So now, we have here in Gimel, we hear Ramchal, basically talks about this principle, that the fact is, when you're looking at mankind in general, being that we said that there's a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara, right? So therefore some people will be good and some people will be bad, Ramchal says goes a step further. Not only because there's a Yetzer Tov and you have free will, some people will be good and some will be bad, but an individual himself sometimes will be good and sometimes will be bad. So not just making a distinction between man and man, but actually the same distinction is within the individual itself also. So when you look at a cloud, mankind in general, and you have good people, right, they have not so good people, the same mixture, the same mix that you have in the cloud, the same mix you have within man himself. That's what the Ramchal says right here. Volam, I want you to understand that Choyka Bechira, the principle of free choice, what does it bring? The principle of free choice, Shemachriach, as we said a moment ago. The fact that there's a principle of free choice, Shemachriach, Machriach Ho'efshus, it means it assures the possibility. It doesn't have to be. But it assures the possibility. Freedom of free choice. And you have urges to go both ways. We just said a moment ago. That certainly assures the possibility. Shazachano, as we mentioned. Bechelke haminu anushi. Being that a chelik of mankind, right? Being that you have free choice. It means that what? That a chelik of mankind, we just tell you, Eloim. Chelik will be bad or good. So that possibility of mixture of good and bad is also within an individual also. It's not just in the general mankind, some people good, some people not, but also within mankind itself. Achaim, he says, Leos kitsosom toivim kitsosom loim, right? Hu atzmoi machriach, he says, efshu zegamkein, that itself becomes a factual possibility. Bemasei kol ish mi ish amin, in the deeds of each individual member. Ishi means individual member of mankind. Each individual member of mankind has this definite possibility that his life will be a mixture of good and bad. It doesn't have to be, but there definitely is, as he said, the Efsherus, he says, Machriach, the definite possibility that this could happen. Sha'ulam Efsher, Avade, it's possible, he says. Certainly it's possible, Shia Kulam Toivim, or Kulam Roim. It's also possible. It's possible to have all people good, possible, unlikely, but it's possible all people can be good. It's possible all people will be bad, right? That's possible. The Efsher, it's also possible, Shia Kitsosam Toivim, or Kitsosam Roim. It's possible that what? That some of a person's actions, he's talking about here, or Maisa, some of his actions will be good and others will be evil. And then what? So the idea is, so it's quite common therefore, for an individual, right, to perform a combination. It's quite common for a person to have a combination of these. That is some good and some bad. All of those have to be dealt with in some way to create the formation of the perfected ones to ready him for Olam Haba, as we'll explain. And he goes on and he says, Vizeh, he says, Memashim Akif, Kibbutz HaShleimish HaZachanu. This mixture, the fact is that the deeds of man are mixed with good and bad, right? That is something that prevents the existence of having a klal of perfected ones. To have a klal of perfected ones, he says, the fact that there is this definite possibility of a person swaying from good to bad, bad to good, so therefore makes it quite difficult. That's ma'akev kibbutz ashleim mishadrat to bring to Olam Haba. You want to bring a group of perfected ones. Ki kvar yemotze b'ish echot atzma, because within the individual himself you're going to find inyonim toivim v'inyonim royim. You're going to find things that are good and you're going to find things that are bad. Right? And he explains this combination of a single person's action, right? can prevent a formation of a group of perfected individuals. The fact that the individual has a combination, right, between good and bad, that prevents a formation, as we said, of a group of perfected individuals. Ki kvar yimotze, he says, v'ish echad atzom, he said, in yonim toim, yonim roim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot say, you know what, I'm only going to look at the good, but I'm not going to look at the bad, because then this would be... This would not be straight judgment. Would not be, as he says, would not be considered to be, it be going against the rule of justice. Well, Ashgiach al Kitzosam, because Shmuel said that I'm only going to turn to the good. Matter of fact, says the Machal, even if the rave is good, but there's a cheshbon on the minority chelik that's bad also. Well, Ashgiach, he says, Afilam oisam sheyushgach aleim yehoroiv, that even though the Kishbaku, right, will look at, will be the majority, right? But it would not be right if he would ignore the chelik minority of a person that's not so good. It would not be within the rule of justice, because as we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goal for mankind was to earn olam haba as a schar for his avoid in this world. Therefore, every action of a person has to be judged, because if some of a person's action would be simply discounted, that would be possible. It means that he would not have earned his chal according to the rule of justice. He sure is hadin oisenis, because the letter of the law basically dictates shekol ha'maisim ignu, that all actions have to be compensated. In other words, each action of a person is important in its own right and cannot be negated by the majority of other actions. So just because you have the majority of other actions, that is not negated, it's not mavatu, but the smaller or the minority actions that a person has performed. So everything is looked at. Everything is looked at. He says, hein gedoilim, hein ketanim, whether they are large or small, hein har bimat, whether there are many or whether there are few. So basically, so all of a person's actions, he speaks about the kamus ubeisa, qualitatively, right, and also quantitatively. For example, a person gives tzedakah, right? He gives tzedakah. So let's say a person gives tzedakah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu would look at here. A, the number of times you gave tzedakah. B, the total amount that you gave tzedakah relative to your assets. Right, you could give a lot of tzedakah, but depends, according to your assets, maybe you gave a little. So Kadosh Baruch Hu basically will look at the number of times you gave tzedakah. He may look at the total amount you gave to tzedakah, and also in the manner how you gave. Many people give, but they give in such a way that sometimes it would be better you didn't give it. So all of this is being, that's why Ramchal says, Gedolim ketanim habimat. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the kamus adech, the quantity, and also Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at the quality. All things. Same thing. How many times a person davened, and also the way that you davened, and so on and so forth. And so too with every area of your Torah life, in your mitzvah life. Kadosh Baruch Hu will look at every aspect of that. So Alkein, so therefore, being that the rule of justice means that Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at everything, Alkein, therefore, Gozo HaChokhma Yoyino, therefore the divine wisdom, right? Therefore the divine wisdom, what Kadosh Baruch Hu did was, Lechalik HaGemur. Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he does is, Lechalik HaGemur means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to separate reward. In other words, there will be two chalokim of reward. There will be two levels. There will be a chalik reward for Olam Haba, and be a chelik reward for Elam Hazen. And you saw explained very beautifully how he says this. Bein l'schar, bein l'oynish. In other words, there are two levels of reward in Elam Haba versus Elam Hazen. There's reward in Elam Hazen. Also oynish. Sometimes there's oynish on this world, and sometimes there's oynish in the next world. So I divided it. Both for schar. That's the Rosh HaRamchal. Kadosh Baruch Hu is geizer l'chalik ha'gmul. Right? To separate the compensation, bein l'schar, separating means between olam haba and olam hazeh. Some schar will be olam haba, some schar olam hazeh. Oynish, some schar will be olam haba, some schar will be olam hazeh. And what depends which it is, what depends which? The hainu. What I mean to say is, shehine klal ha'maisim yischalik, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take the total sum of the deeds of a person, yischalik, and he will divide it, he says, l'roiv u'lemiut. He'll take a look which is the majority, and which is, he says, the minority. And everything's going to be looked at, but he'll look which, but he will separate it. Now he's going to look at everything. But he'll put the majority of his deeds in one side, and the minority deeds on the other side. The majority is good, is on one side. The minority deeds are bad, is on the other side. Vice versa also. The majority of the bad deeds is on one side. The minority of the good deeds. He separates the majority from the minority. He'll separate the Yudon Haroid Levadoi, the Mokim Abizman Haroid. The majority will be judged by itself, he says, in appropriate place and time. The Hamiut Levadoi, the Mokim Abizman Haroid. And the majority itself. So let me explain what he's going to say later, because I want to move on to the the sheet. Mamchal says very beautifully, so this question comes up next. Should have a little picture. We shouldn't end like in the middle of a thought. He says like this. Take tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, roiv of their ma'isim are good. A minority of their ma'isim, right, are not that good. So the roiv is good. So, for the roiv, they deserve schar. For the minority, is einish. For the arei comes einish. Because both of this. If the roiv is good, so what it means is, so the schar I'm going to give them to Olam Haba. Because the roiv is good. If the roiv is good, so the schar will go to Olam Haba. And of course, when you talk about Olam Haba, that's endless schar. And the minority, which is einish, I'm giving Olam Hazeh. So einish, this world is a limited world. So the einish and Olam Hazeh, so we can get the einish and Olam Hazeh. That's what the Mechal says. He divides the majority from the minority. If the majority is good, so therefore the roiv goes to Olam Haba. Means the good, he'll get Olam Haba, all the schar on the bed, which is endless schar. And the minority is Einish, because I say, no, I'm not going to give the Einish to Olam Haba. The Einish, I'm going to have to say, B'mokim u'bizman, different places. So therefore, tzaddikim, so when they finish with Olam Hazeh, the suffering that they went through, in Olam Haba is completely pure, nothing. Because they already, right, they already have compensated for any Einish that was due them, they already, it was taken care of in this world. Rishoyim, now it's the other way. Rishoyim also, there's roiv in the mid. Unfortunately, Rishoyim, roiv are bad. Right? And the mid, right? And the mid is good. So the roiv is bad, so the oinish is in Olam Haba. The oinish is in Olam Haba. The mid is good, schar is in Olam Hazeh. We know Rishoyim get the schar in Olam Hazeh. Mishalm, right? Son of a pon of Lahavidoi. So by Rishoyim, so unfortunately, the schar is in Olam Hazeh. So obviously, Olam Hazeh is limited. And the Einish is Olam Haba. The Raiv goes to Olam Haba, and the minority goes to Olam Hazeh. Tzaddikim, which the Raiv is good, so the Schar is in Olam Haba, and the Einish, and the Avelish, which is the Miut, is in Olam Hazeh. So the Einish is Olam Hazeh. Therefore, you're going to find, Rabbi Yisai, Tzaddikim suffering and Rishoyim prospering. Why? Because Tzaddikim get any Einish they deserve, they get it here. Rishoyim and Ischar, they deserve to get it here. It's not a total answer, because you have some tzaddikim that don't suffer that much. You have some rishonim that don't have it that great either. It's not a total answer. But like upon him, this a little bit puts it a little bit in perspective. That's what you understand, the idea. It's a big toiva that the tzaddik suffers on this world. Because this world is a limited world. And all of my body comes against him pure. So Einish Boilam Hazeh, that's the Gemara we can tell you that it's of this world. And by the way, with Mischa, you know the famous Maaseh, the Chofetz Chaim repeated, that the Goyim once said, if you open up a Sefer Eishes Chochma, it's very, very frightening. You see how he talks about Gehenna. Pashit, you're just reading it, your neshama can fly out right away. You make it a little quicker, you know. So the Goyim said once, he said that everything that it says there about the tzar that the neshama endures, he says, it's not a guzma, it's not an exaggeration, it's 100% true. So the Chofetz Chaim said, when the Talmud of the Goyim heard it, so he said, so Rebbe, how are you able to survive? I mean, if everything is true that the Einishim are so severe, how are you able to survive? So the Goyim said, it's true. But you know what? Any little tzar that you have in this world, in this, is in Olam Haba, it counts as tremendous tzar. It takes away a tremendous amount of tzar. I'll give you a motion, didn't say a motion. You look on a map, right? Look at a map. You see a dot? This dot represents New York. It's a little dot. But it's really new. So every little tzar, Rabbi, say, in the map of Olam Haba, it's gewaldig. This little dot looks a little bit. So any little amount of tzar you have here, so it'll take away from a lot of the tzar you said from Olam Haba. So sometimes the person goes through a little bit of challenges in this world, realize that it's a tremendous thing. Whatever tzar it is here, in Shemaim it counts, you cash in on that much, much more. It takes off much, much more than whatever it means here on this world. And the Stipler once said, actually, I from a Shrezer Chon Vachem B'Shem, the Alta Vision Shrezer, the Havas Yisrael. The Gemara said regarding a certain Tana that went through a lot of tzar. And he said the Loshen, Lo Yehain V'Lo Yischaron. I don't need the tzar, nor I don't need the tzar. It's a Loshen. So he said, Pshat is like this. Lo Yehain, I'm not mispower for tzar, but Lo Yischaron. The tzar that I had, I don't sell for all the money in the world. Because that tzar in Olam Haba, he says, is immeasurable. So Lo Yehain, Yid is not mispower for tzar. But however, but Lo Yischaron, I don't sell it either. All the tzuras that I had, he says, this is something that I will not give away ever. So let's look up, Rabbi Yisrael, let's look at the sheet here. We'll see a little bit, we're talking about here living in this world. Talking about living here in this world. Yeah. And see, there is a beautiful essay, just took a part of it, from Chaim Shmulevich, near Rosh Yeshiva. Chaim Shmulevich, who's in Tovshim Amar Aleph, who's in Parshat Vayera, it's called Ushra Chaim. The tremendous value, the value and good fortune of being alive. What it means being alive, to understand the tremendous fortune that a person has just for being alive. And he goes on, he really develops it in there with quite a few Maral Mekoymas here. We brought up just some of it here, but let's see what we can manage here. It gives a new perspective to life, and by the way, it also means a lot when people undergo end-of-life issues, you know, and sometimes decisions have to be made, prolonging life or not. So there's an attitude to understand what it means, how every moment of life is precious. Someone, another Mchoshev, said, very interesting. People say, you know, when someone's going through struggling, you know, and we're talking about end-of-life issues. So usually the way is to try to prolong life as much as possible, if possible, you say, is because when there's life, there's hope. There's a certain saying like that. And that's, as long as there's life, there's hope. But Bottle said, no, the phrase should be rephrased. Not when there's life, there's hope. When there's life, there's life. Life itself means something. It's not the hope after that. I don't know what's life, what comes after that. When there's life, there's life. That's the Taklus on its own, the Cheshivas of life. So here we have the Oishar HaChaim, the fortune, the value of life. Hovenus Chak Maloi, we find it probably, right, when Yidu and Mitzrayim. So Paul said, let's find out, right? Hold on, let's figure out. Let's figure out to outsmart them, to go against them, to destroy their power. And we know Amu Chazal said there were three people that Paroi had a meeting with. So there were three that were involved in the Yates of Paroi, in the Xerah of every Jewish baby boy should be thrown into the river. Bilam Yoatz, Bilam was the one who gave Yates, Bilam was there also. Bilam Yoatz, Bilam was given Yates. Eiv Shosak, Eiv kept quiet, he didn't say anything. And Yisrael Borach, Yisrael ran away, he fled. So Bilam Sheyoatz Neherak Becherev, Bilam that gave Yisrael, we know Bilam was killed by the sword. He was the one, we would know years and years later, Bilam ended, his life was lost because someone killed him with a sword. Who would know that this goes back years earlier? Because he was sitting in the meeting of Paroi, and he gave the Yisrael, he was the one that gave the advice, every Jewish baby boy should be thrown in the river. Who would have known that? He was saying Chazal. Bilam Yoatz. Bilam was the one who gave that advice. Neherik Bechor, was killed by the sword. Eiv Shishosak, Eiv kept quiet. He didn't say anything. You have to speak up. So, Nidam Yisurin. He was punished with Yisurin. He went through a life, as we know, a life of pain, Eiv. And what we find out here from Chazal, the tzar of Eiv was, why? Because he didn't speak up. He showed that you have to speak up. I didn't do anything. He didn't. You don't have to do something. You should have to speak up. He didn't speak up. Eiv Sheshosak Nim Yisroel. Yisroel Shebarach Yisroel, who by running away he clearly showed that he's opposed this, right? So Zocho, he was Zeiche, that Ubonov Yeshu Belishka Sagozis. He had descendants later on, many, many generations, they were sitting as Sanhedrin. He was rewarded. The fact he didn't want to be part of this, imagine he ran off. Now, if you take a look, Rabbi Sai, let's take the two who were punished. Bilam was punished, he was killed. Eiv Sheshosak Nidin B'Yisurin. So Reb Chaim says, "Bor, it seems to be clear, she'onshe shel Bilam tzorach liyos kosher le'ein orach ma'onshe shel Eiv." I would imagine that the punishment, who deserves it? Bilam gave the answer. I want to ask you something. Bilam gave the answer. Bilam gave the advice. Eiv didn't say, he didn't give advice, he just was quiet. Who deserves a bigger punishment? But the one who gave advice, the one who didn't speak up, okay, he also did wrong. But who deserves a bigger punishment, you would say? Bilam. Yeah? And I'm going to ask you, a person has a choice. Either your life should be taken, or live a life of torture. Which is a bigger punishment? Bilam forfeited his life. He had life. Good. But he didn't live a life of torture. Eiv, Lamaisa, was kept alive with Yisurin. Who has a bigger einish? Would appear Eiv had a bigger einish. Eiv had a bigger einish. His brother kept him alive, pain, his body racked with pain, all different types of sorrows that we had, right? Why? Bilam deserves a bigger einish. Let's take a look. Borisha onche shal Bilam tzachliyas kosher le'ein orch manche shaluyas. His einish should be much, without comparison, Bilam's einish should be much greater as punishment. She Bilam yoatz ra'al Yisrael v'ilu iub shosak. Ach, and yet, her einish, what's the einish? Bilam neherek b'chora, Bilam was killed, v'iub nidin b'yisurim. Morim b'nayroim. Eve suffered life, he says, awesome, frightening pain. She ain't the koyach enish the soul, which a human being cannot tolerate. He's not able to tolerate. Harei l'chayah would appear, onchel choma mishal bilom. Appear that Eve suffered a great enish. Okay, son. So here comes the B'chaim and says something profound. It's an unbelievable thing. And he says, Zaposik enecho, you have to know how to translate it. We read it every year on Tisha B'Av, we read it. Pesuk says, "Ma yisoinen odam chai." Why should a live person complain? Look at Rashi. We perish Rashi. "Ma yisrayim odam," right? "Ma yisrayim odam." In other words, "Ma yisrayim odam, kama chai." Why should a person complain of all the tzaras that he has? Chai, you're alive. The fact that you're alive is a tremendous, tremendous thing. In other words, Ma'i Yisrayim Odom Al Kol HaKoyres HaBoyim Elov. A person complaining about all the things that happened to him, Achal HaChesed Shani Oysimoy, because Baruch says, the Chesed, you're alive. We don't understand what it means, the Maton of life. And therefore all the other things should be put aside. The fact that you're alive, Achal HaChesed Shani Oysimoy, Shunasati L'Chaim. Achal HaChesed Shemekabu Odom Eis HaBoyres, says Reb Chaim. How can he complain about Kol HaKoyres HaBoyim Olav? Moshel Yodom. He goes, here's the Moshel. Moshel Yodom Shezocha B'Zchus HaGdoyle B'Goyle. Let's say a man, right? He wins the lottery. He wins the lottery. He wins $10 million. Okay. At the moment that he wins $10 million, right, he breaks a leg, he says. Not he breaks a leg. So what happens? The pitcher is barrel broke. So some have said, is he going to complain by the loss of a pitcher? He just won $10 million. Right? And if at the same time, right, a barrel or a card or a pitcher breaks, is he going to go complaining? Does he even feel that pain? Does he even feel the pain of the broken barrel or the broken chair? Does it even bother him? The great fortune that he had, this $1 million, he won the lottery. It swallows up, right? It swallows up all the experiences of pain, right? The small, the minuscule pain, that you lost the chavis, you lost the barrel. Haboy mal yodom, he says. Bechaya yoyim yoyim. Vekach the same way al odom ha'agish. Life means that you won the lottery. If you're alive, you won the lottery, he says. Anything else is minuscule, he says. The kachol odom ha'agish b'chetek kodibokhu shenoysim l'chaim. The fact that he gave him chaim. Simchosoy v'ishra, his happiness and his glitch, his feeling of simcha. Tzrichim liyo isla ein keitz v'shir, without an M, ach shlo yocho shlo yagish, he will not even feel b'chol ha'koyos ha'boyim elof. Olof. V'afil, now here's the chiddush, a tremendous chiddush. How do you look? V'afil yisurim gedoyim v'atzurim ki yisura iiv. Ke'ayin v'efes yechoshvu l'umas ha'goshes ho oishe shel esem ha'chaim. Iiv suffered, but he's alive. That's the pshat. The fact you're alive. That is the... So anything else has to become vocal, he says, to the mitzvah that you're alive. And take a look. The kachom adover amelech. We say this so much on both sides, but look at this taich. We say it, and look at the inside of Reb Chaim. The amelech says, do you ever translate those words yourself? We sing all the negunim in Hara, right? Yasa yisrani ko. The amelech loy lusanoni. Translate those words. Even though Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me Yisurim, but you didn't kill me. What does that mean? The Maton of Chaim, the gift of life. Yasri Yisrani Ko. V'lamoves lo yisanoni. Af ki Yisrani Hashem Yisurim Gidolim Ulam. V'lamoves lo yisanoni. You didn't give me l'moves, he says. And that is, that's the idea. I'm not going to feel the Yisurim. Go down for a moment. Time is very short here, because I still want to come to one thing. Look number two in the bottom, just the next few lines in the bottom, and number two in the bottom. The Shirina Bavis. The Sanctus Ovis, it says, Yotesh Ha'achash, Lokeiris Ruach Borom Habo. Oyom Habo, One moment of Koyras Ruach, of pleasure in Olam Habo, is more than the entire life of Olam Hazeh. Yofi Sho'achas, one moment of pleasure in Olam Habo. How do you explain the words? Yofi Sho'achas or Koyras Ruach? What does Koyras Ruach mean? Pleasure in Olam Habo? Reb Chaim brings down, he said, Machreinim, it's from Reb Sos Alanta, actually, Mechtav Melio, Reb Dessler brings it. Reb Sos Alanta said, Koyras Ruach means, forget about the pleasure of Olam Haba. Even a Shmek of Olam Haba. A Shmek of Olam Haba is like someone, right, who's not invited to, right, to a fancy Suda. But what is he doing? But when he is able to do the most, he didn't get an invitation. So he walks by, there's a window that's open, and you have some of the aroma of what's happening inside, and it has a whiff, it has a little smell. Just a little, even if you're not in Olam Haba, just a smell of Olam Haba, just a whiff of Olam Haba is more than koch. Imagine being in Olam Haba. Imagine being in Olam Haba. Who pays Rabbi Sein Rachmanim? Is that our Rebbe explained? Koyras Ruach means loy hanoah shomamish. Doesn't even mean hanoah shomamish, an actual hanoah. El kodem shachofes lekodem suda gedolah. Like someone who wants to go to a large student, to a lavish student. They manichem or lekodem zafin. They don't let him go in. El olama, they only allow him to stand the pesach by the door. Ula reach reach hamadanim, to smell the reach of the madanim. Okay, so what do you see? That even a whiff, right? Even a little bit of a whiff of Olam Haba is so great. Nikol Chai Olam Hazeh. But then we have the counter memory. What's the other Chazal? Oy Tzom Yofa Shoachas B'tshuva Ma'isim Toivim. If you utilize this world the proper way, Yofa Shoachas B'tshuva Ma'isim Toivim Olam Hazeh Nikol Chai Olam Haba. In other words, Mahach Gisa, on the one side we said that Kol Chai Olam Hazeh, the entire life of Olam Hazeh, Chol Tanu Game, all the pleasures, Mabrius Olam Hazeh Kodesh, from the time of creation to the end of time, all of these pleasures do not amount Einim Shavim Ata V'Shoh Achas Shokoy Yisuach. Midich on the other side, Shoh Achas Shokhayim Musukonim, one life, 1 hour of proper life, the Mitzvah Masim Toim, Yofim Kol Chai Olam Habo, turn the sheet on the side, 3 lines more, number 3. Right? Yofi Shoachas Bo'olam Hazeh. Why? Yimkol Chai Olam Habo. Why? Why is Tshuva Masim Tovim of this world more than Olam Habo? Look what he says. Because he says this is Yofi. He says Yimkol Chai Olam Habo. For Olam Hazeh, in other words, Efsher Liskarev LaKodesh Baruch Hu Yoyser Ma'asher B'Yoyser Haneshama Ginuz Etachas Kisa Kovet. Mind boggling. One would say the neshama that's under the kisa kovet, you can't get closer to Hashem. Doing mitzvahs on this world, you can get closer to Hashem. Doing mitzvahs on this world, you can get closer to Hashem more than the neshama by the kisa kovet. Zecher l'dovah, I'll bring a shtickle raya. What's the raya? Who's closer to Hashem? The malachim are we. The malachim are way up there. The malachim are up there. And what do we say? The malachim said, Mishosim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishosim, his servants. Right? The malachim. Shoyalim Zelozeh, they're asking, Ayy Malachim Kavaydoi. What are you asking? They're in Shemayim. They're asking where Hashem's covered. They're right there. And what's the answer? The evil Khan Boilom Maloy Kolos Kavaydoi. The end is Maloy Kolos Kavaydoi. So where's bigger? That's what they said. That's the Usha Achayim. That's to understand what life means. Therefore, this is what the Mechal tells us. That the whole Tachlis Achayim become Mizdabek B'Hashem to come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let me sign with the following. The pasuk, you know, that we say on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's actually, you know, when the Chazan said that one line and the Olam repeats it. We have many responsive statements that we have throughout the Tfilas of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's the pasuk in Iyif. The pasuk says, V'hu be'echod umi yeshuvenu. The nafsha idsava yoas. That's the pasuk in the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? Iyif went through all the sorrows in his life. So he says to himself, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu single-handedly makes up his mind, who can sway him? V'hu be'echod. V'hu be'echod means HaKadosh Baruch Hu single-minded, umi yeshivenu. In other words, who can sway HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nafsha yivso, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires to do it, vayos, he does it. In other words, who can change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, so to speak? What we do is, when we say this on Rosh Hashanah, we proclaim with knowledge, with trepidation, that as chusim may be too few to sway HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. It's being ma'eres to do tshuva. We're saying, look at Eve, look at the statement that Eve made. The Rebbe of Shmelke of Nikolsburg once pointed out that he was the brother of the Aflo. So he was nifted in 1778. The Rebbe of Shmelke said the following. He said, V'hu be'echod. He said, Apidel Drush, but a beautiful word. Listen to what they say. The Hu Be'echad, if a person happens to be alone, no, and you want to make a bracha, there's nobody to say amen. Umi ishu venu. Who's going to be able to respond to you? You know what he said? Nafshe ivsoch. If you really desire that someone should respond to your bracha, by yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create a malach to answer amen to your bracha. He is pshat. The Hu Be'echad, he who finds himself alone, Umi ishu venu, there's nobody to be meishiv, there's nobody to answer amen to his bracha. Nafshe ifso, if you really desire so much that there should somebody answer amen to your bracha, vayoas, because your bracha will create it, will make it. By the way, amen is Rosh Hashanah's Kirim Melech Nema, right? When a person says amen, they're proclaiming that you have Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, let me tell you something. There's a Rav, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael, Kiryat Sefer, and actually there's a section called Brachfeld, Kiryat Sefer. There's a Rav by the name of Yisrael Zicherman. And they said he was a Rav. There's a famous hospital in Bnei Brak called Maine Yeshua, very well known hospital. And he was a Rav, he says, of the hospital in Bnei Brak. So he said what he heard from a New York doctor. He heard from a New York doctor who was involved with this episode. Okay, but listen to this meister. He said, more than 30 years ago, he said, he was a former Talmud of Moshe Feinstein, who was married with children. He was extremely ill and he required a very serious surgery. Okay? A former Talmud of Moshe Feinstein, married with children, became very seriously ill and required a very serious surgery. How serious was the surgery? That the surgeons told the family, that even after the surgery, the post-operative care would be very painful, number one. After the surgery, the care would be very painful. And he said the patient would live only for 6 months afterward. Two things. Painful recovery, and the most I could expect that the doctor is 6 months to recover. The family also knew that if he does not have the surgery, he said, then the father could not live even for a few weeks unless he was operated on. So if he doesn't have the operation, he's finished right away, very shortly. And here the doctor said, if he does go through surgery, it'll be a painful recovery and 6 months. So he decided to ask with Moshe what to do. Should we have the surgery? Should we operate? Should we not operate? The primary doctor was asked to come along. He asked to come along because he couldn't understand. He said, how a rabbi, as great as he could, how could he make a decision on a life-threatening situation, he says, when medicine was not his field of expertise? He just wanted to see what Moshe is going to say. The doctor said, I want to come along. So the doctor told his Rabbi Zicherman, he says, first thing is, I came to this Rabbi Feinstein, he says, when he heard the name of the former Talmud, his student, and he heard how seriously ill he was, he began to cry uncontrollably for Moshe. His pain, said the doctor, and anguish was so genuine that now at least I began to understand why anyone would trust him with such a crucial decision. I saw the concern. Moshe advised the patient should have the surgery. Why, Rabbi Sai? Listen to what Moshe's cheshvan. Moshe said, have the surgery because afterwards you're going to have the possibility you can answer amen to many brachas that people will say. You'll have the surgery, you'll have the ability to answer amen. Every time you say amen, said Rabbi Moshe, a malach would be created and those malachim will protect you, they will live longer than 6 months. He had the surgery, and he lives for many years afterward, just like what Moshe predicted. Interesting thing, Rabbi Sai. Amen is the gematria what? 91. Malach is also the gematria 91. Moshe didn't say that gematria, but this is it. So Rabbi Sai, I want to tell you just one more thing. So Rabbi Zichman said, when he heard that from the doctor, he told us about Moshe's psak, because he says, 6 months. In 6 months you'll answer so many amens, you'll create so many malachim, they're going to protect you, you can live longer than 6 months. And he did. So Rabbi Zichman said, let me tell you something now about Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He said that on Yom Kippur, Shlomo Zalman would come in on Yom Kippur, he would go around to sick people to tell them that they have to eat on Yom Kippur. Not only that, he would come clearly to tell them you can eat this much, so much time between every amount that you eat, and clearly showing them the size of the portion and so on. So this Rabbi Zichman says, I remember he said that Shlomo Zalman came to a particular woman, said she was so weak, she could barely eat, she could barely drink, or even daven. Shlomo Zalman told her, You can't daven, you can't eat, you can't this. But one word, amen, you can say. If you answer amen to somebody else's bracha, that will be a protection for you. And if some Zalman said it's worth all the agony that you're going through to be able to answer amen. Because the schar for even one amen, he says, is endless. That Rabbi says, the Ushur HaChaim. Just to be able to live, look how many amens you can answer at that time.